From the PSIA ASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon, I'm George Thomas. You're listening to First Chair. I am so excited, Dana Forbes, to be talking with you tonight. I saw an article that you wrote in Instructor to Instructor, the PSIA Rocky Mountain, not really newsletter, but kind of information that you all send out. And it was written by you, and we'll get into that in just a second. But Dana, thank you very much for taking the time to chat.
Thanks for having me, George. I always love talking to you.
Well, Dana, this when I opened up Instructor to Instructor and saw your article, it just grabbed me right away. I loved the way you started it. You know, I've been teaching for 35 years, I believe.
Yeah. I am being celebrated at Spring Fling along with all of our other anniversary members. Rocky Mountain, we do a celebration for our 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, and now 75-year members.
Wow.
And so I'm getting my 35-year pin, and we give away a free clinic. And so, yes, I'm excited about that. Thank you for that. I don't know how I have 35 years since I'm only 42 years old. It's crazy.
And I love that you started teaching when you were 7. That is so cool. You were like in a skiwi class.
I know. And I can really relate to the kids.
But relating to kids actually has a lot about what you wrote, because you were saying, you know, you were out on this lesson. You're always excited to teach, and you're out on the snow, and even with all the experience that you have, for whatever reason, all the tricks in your book, they're just not getting through to this student. And that happens to all of us. And you come in after an experience like that, and it's so hard not to get down on yourself. Tell us about that.
You know, it was crazy. I thought I was actually done teaching for the year. I only teach about 15 days, and a favor was called in, and so I went out to teach for 2 days, and I had some beginners, and I love when I get to teach beginners, because I am really good at teaching beginners, so I was all excited. It was a mom and her two twin kids, and the kids were, I think, 9 or 10, and, you know, we headed out, and it was a very busy day for the resort, and so, you know, I was a little bit thrown off, because, like, maybe my usual spots were taken, and so I kind of had to move through the lesson a little bit differently, but I, you know, try to stay the course and use the terrain as I could, and I can't blame my lack of what I'll call success in that lesson on the fact that it was quote-unquote crowded or I had to move around. It was really, I just was struggling to not connect with this child, but to actually get them to turn their skis. I mean, there was nothing I did, and I tried absolutely everything. And I almost got to the point where I was going to blame it on the fact that her ski boots were too big, but they weren't. And I just couldn't do it. And I came inside, back to the office, which is located right across the street from the resort, and I just said, oh my gosh, well, that was discouraging. And I just felt like I was the worst teacher in the world.
Now, wait, you've got to backtrack a little bit. These were twins, but one of them didn't get it. Did the other one?
Yes. The other one did. And the mom did well. But the other one struggled in different ways. Like, he was one of those kids that, like, could not stand still on flat terrain. So, but once I glued his skis to the ground, we did a lot better. But you'll have that, right? I mean, all kids and everybody develops differently. They come at it with different experiences. One was actually a boy and one was a girl, and they had different, they participated in different sports, so that could have been why. I saw a difference in what they were able to do. You know, and I did joke in the article, not everybody's meant to ski. That certainly wasn't it. And by the end, you know, she was turning, and, you know, we were going to the, you know, the top of the beginner hill. But it was, to me, it was, I felt like I wasn't a good teacher anymore.
So how did you deal with that? Because it is really frustrating. And you're looking at yourself thinking, I mean, I'm a leader in this organization. I'm a trainer at Steamboat Springs. And I should know how to make this work. And everything I'm doing, nothing is seeming to click. How do you deal with that frustration?
Well, I had to give myself a reality check. It was only a 3-hour private, and I for some reason in my delusion thought that I could take an absolute beginner from Florida, mind you, and you know, oh boom, they should be able to turn both ways and ski the beginner hill, which that is a very tight time frame. But then I actually started to think a little bit about this time of year, and this is the time of year where we, PSIASI, we're putting on a lot of assessments, and we see people who are successful and then some who might need to come back for another go around. And I have these conversations, you know, daily or weekly with our members about, you know, not, you know, don't get discouraged, you know, that this is a process and it takes time. And, you know, I also know for a fact that I'm not a bad teacher. You know, I've had thousands and thousands of hours on the snow impacting people. And just because I had this one negative experience, and I mean, I couldn't think of another negative experience this entire year, let alone the last few years. And so I had to remind myself that, you know, this didn't make me a bad teacher. And, you know, George, there are Olympic level athletes. There are, you know, people who are the best of the best who earned their medals. And they'll have one bad day and they all of a sudden start to doubt, like, I am not good at this. They usually get in their own head, or maybe they change coaches or they're with their coach and someone says something to them which immediately makes them doubt all of their success prior to that one moment. I'm sure you've had it. I'm sure you've had a bike ride, you know, where it went really well and you had it was amazing, or maybe it was a class that you taught and then all of a sudden it didn't happen. But that doesn't mean that you're a bad bike rider, right?
I guess. I have lots of those where, yeah, it's like I am just not able to go uphill today or whatever it is. And it can be devastating. I mean, as you were talking, I was thinking of field goal kickers. I mean, talk about something where really you can get into your head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was a diver and a gymnast, right? Very individual sports like as a kid. And I mean, you have a moment where you miss a move, like, and it's so easy to get in your head. And quite frankly, we are our own worst enemies. And the way that we talk to ourselves, be it in anything that we do, it can really, I don't want to use the word make or break, but it can really change the course of our ability to be successful. And in the article, I talked about, you know, getting discouraged. And we get discouraged when we're working on things. And to be discouraged is, the actual meaning of that is to remove your courage, right? All of the sudden, you know, the courage that you had to put yourself out there and keep trying, to keep giving it a go, like it dissipates and you almost become delusional. And when I was talking before about a little bit of delusion, and like in this case, it's like we'll meet people that have egos, you know, that they think that they're really good and they're almost delusional to one end of the spectrum. But what happens when we get discouraged is we actually become delusional and we start to self-talk to ourselves that we, in the opposite direction, we think that we are less and can perform less than we did 1,000 times before. Just like I did, came into the office, I was disappointed, I was discouraged, and I just all of a sudden thought, for 35 years, after 35 years, I don't know how to teach anymore.
Well, and I really want you to go through, because, you know, what this was like with the class, because when you're starting to have those feelings build up, it's not like the person that you're working with isn't picking up on your sense of frustration. And there you had also another kid and a parent. And how do you keep that from spreading?
I think that takes time, you know, and I know there's a lot of pros, probably seasoned and maybe newer to the industry that, you know, can totally relate. And the way that we connect with our guests and create that trust is it is so critical, especially at a moment like this when someone isn't having success. But here's the thing we have to remember, George, is I had to remind myself again, even while I was in it, like my expectation of that person was much higher, right? But her expectation, we had to celebrate every moment. And she was thrilled with the fact that when she started, she didn't even know how to put on her skis. I celebrated all of those wins along the way, because that's actually the reality, right? It's no different than when we learned how to drive a car. When you first get, I actually just taught a friend of mine's daughter how to drive. Which is funny. She had never, ever, even like nothing even remotely close. And I mean, it was awful at the beginning, but I told her, I said, you know, in 10 years, you're going to be driving with your knee, you know, eating a sandwich with one hand and breaking up a fight with your kids in the back seat. Like, I mean, we forget how hard it was when we started, and we forget to celebrate all the steps to it. So the girl that I was teaching, to her, she was doing great. She wasn't necessarily getting frustrated. I, in my head, was getting frustrated with maybe an expectation that I'd set that was beyond what was necessary. And so I think setting your expectations appropriately, but connecting with the guests so that, you know, you are celebrating their wins, and then they're not sensing your frustration.
And how did that lesson come to an end? Did you happen to see them again? Or at the end of the day, did you feel like overall it was a success for them, even though you didn't feel like it was successful for you?
You know, I talked to them about how important the process was. And I also, it's funny because I was in this article already when I had gone out. I had already had the idea, because more of our people that are going out for national team and for all these like assessments, I was already sensing that I needed to talk a little bit to the membership about process and not getting discouraged and staying the course. And so at the end of the lesson, I actually had a very similar conversation that we're having right now with the little girl about keeping her courage and how much courage she had had just to come out there and try it. And, you know, I talked to her about celebrating the wins and staying the course and the process. And then I actually told her a story about a bamboo tree. And it's an analogy. I'll tell you the story really quickly. So there, and I actually don't know if there's any truth to this, but there is a bamboo tree, this ancient tree, and apparently when you plant the seed, you have to fertilize and water it every single day. And you have to do this for 5 years. And if you don't water it and you don't fertilize it, even if you just miss one day, there's a chance that the tree won't grow. But after 5 years of watering it and fertilizing it, in 9 weeks, it'll start to grow. And in a 9-week period, it grows like over 9 feet. All right. And so you could ask, like I said to the little girl, I go, so did the tree grow? Did it take 9 weeks for the tree to grow? Or did it take 5 years and 9 weeks for the tree to grow? And it took her a minute, you know, because of course their first answer wanted to be 9 weeks, because up until the 9-week part, you hadn't even seen anything from the bamboo tree, nothing. And so then I reminded her, I go, no, it was all the watering and the fertilizing leading up to it. And, you know, I told her, I said, you know, I remember my first time skiing, and everybody listening to this podcast, you know, you can remember, if you can remember when you first started skiing, snowboarding, cross country, whatever you do, whatever sliding you do, or whatever it is you're working on out there, like, think about how that first experience was and how it went. And now think about where you are, right? It didn't all happen, you know, in the last, you know, 12 weeks or, you know, 4 months on snow. It's a process. And I think what happens, and I told the little girl, I go, so many people give up right when they're at the point of almost getting there. And she had almost given up, like not given up, but she was getting tired and she wanted some food. I don't know that she wasn't verbally giving up. She just mentally maybe was a little bit. Right after, I said, let's do one more run. And that was when she finally got her turns. And I told her, I said, if you had given up, like if we had gone in for that break, I didn't say, you know, but if we had stopped, you might not have gotten those turns. And so that, I left her with that. And her mom texted me the next day, because they were going to go out just together and stay in that same beginner area. And, you know, she didn't necessarily make it any further. She had an incredible experience. She got her turns much better. She wasn't necessarily ready for a bigger chairlift, but, you know, again, this is a little girl from Florida, and to her, she skied she had success, and she'll remember it forever, and that's what matters.
And how long did it take you to get over your feeling that you can't teach anymore? Because it sounds like you actually taught a great lesson.
you know, I got over pretty quick, actually, when I started writing this article. When I started to decide to tell our membership to not get discouraged, because this is the time of the year where everybody's a little bit tired. You know, we've taught a lot of lessons. We've been training really hard. And, you know, I had to remind myself, like you said, like I had to kind of go back and have this conversation with myself to remind myself that it was successful. And it wasn't about my expectations. It was about her expectations. And while I know a lot of people, again, that are listening to this, my process of developing and growing within the sport, whether that's becoming a better educator, whether that's, you know, passing a certification, becoming a better whatever you slide on, learning a trick in the half pipe, whatever it is, like, I know this is so corny, but it really is about the process. It is not about, and I know that what we do is we certify, you know, instructors, and getting that pin and getting that certificate is really important, but you know, I've been doing this for 35 years, and at the end of the day, that's not what it's about. That's not what's going to make you a better teacher. It's not the pin, and it's not the certificate. It's about the journey to it and not giving up, staying the course, because it's usually when we're so close, when we're so close to getting there is when we give up. Like, if we hadn't watered that tree on the very last day of the fifth year, maybe that bamboo tree never would have sprouted, right? And we all have the potential for this. But unfortunately, because we allow ourselves to get in our head, or we allow other people to get in our head, we remove our courage to, like, stay the course. And so I, you know, it didn't take me long. I wrote the article and I thought, you're a good teacher, Forbes. And I've actually, since I did this, like, I've had some experiences, like, in the gym and even on my own property, like I'm taking on things that I'm not used to doing. And I have a neighbor and he's incredible. And he comes over and often helps me because I have tractors and things that I'm not used to. I get discouraged and he comes over and he always says to me, he goes, did you learn something new today? And I said, yes. He goes, you know more today than you knew yesterday. And I'm like, yes, I do. And so I changed that discouragement into like pride. Like, yeah, I stayed the course. So I guess I'm just here to encourage everybody to get out of your own head, tell yourself to shut up, and tell yourself to stay the course, because the process is incredible, and you are improving every single day.
Well, Dana Forbes, I can't ask you for a conclusion because that was a heck of a wrap-up, but I can say I have your Christmas present now in my head for 2024, which is a t-shirt that says, you're a good teacher, Forbes.
Oh, thank you. Well, I appreciate that, George. And, you know, I need to say I appreciate all of our members because so many of them do stay the course. You know, I'm in the process of reviewing applications for the national team. And I feel I'm filled with so much pride to be surrounded by people who are so committed to growing and expanding and learning and improving. And it's just such an honor to serve the membership that has this level of commitment. And I just want to say to everybody again, it is about the relationships that you build. It is about the little girl who finally got the turn because she went out for that other run. Or it is about, you know, that amazing run you had this year where you felt incredible. It's not about the one bad day you have.
Dana Forbes, thank you so much. And I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to the podcast we are in the process of planning for early May. So more to come.
It's going to be great, George. And yeah, thanks for everything. It's always great talking to you.
Dana Forbes joining us on First Chair from the PSIA ASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon. I'm George Thomas.